I was kind of eager to get started. And even though a lot of times the prophet would say no, he would tell somebody no, but they would go back and they would get Gehazi, and Gehazi would whatever gifts that they wanted to give to the man of God, Gehazi would take them. He said, yeah, you know, but then he said, it's not time to receive. Whenever I'm sold into, I sow that right back into the apostle. Matter of fact, I know there's times people meet me in the parking lot and they'll sow into me, and I receive it. And what that is, actually, that's a twice sown seed, because you sowed it into me, but I know there's a time of preparation and a time of discipline and learning how it's not time to receive, but I recognize that this anointing is because of the apostle. It ain't because of me. I'm just submitted properly, or trying to submit properly. So I me like you know, I'll touch it. I've received it, but it's gonna be sold into the apostle. I'll leave it here. I know it's gonna be sold into the ministry. You know, so that's a twice sown seed. You know, you sold it into me, and I sold it into the man of God. You know, because I've watched doctors. Sometimes, a lot of times, you learn things by. You remember I said last week, some things can be taught, but some things got to be caught. You got to watch it. Just like the prophet Isaiah told Elijah, if you see me when I go up in the whirlwind, then you know you're gonna have your request. So you got to catch it. You got to be listening. You got to be looking. You got to be observant. You know, I just wanted to share that because I'd wanted to do that earlier. Because one time I took it and I would sow it on a Wednesday, but then I watched Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil just he don't even touch it. I said, but that don't mean he didn't receive it. That just means that, hey, I'm sowing this into the apostle, you know. So I thank God for good examples, for good men of God. Ooh, you know, I thank God for LTMA and the integrity that we see day in and day out. You know, we got awesome leaders and people that God has graced us to follow. And it all starts from the head. Amen. All right, it's time. I didn't use 2 minutes of just explaining that. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing by your Spirit. And I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that, Father God, that I speak as you inspire me to speak, Lord God, and that I only say the things, God, that you instruct me to say, Lord God. I thank you for my apostle. I thank you for this ministry here, Lord God, Evan Treason Word Training Center, the students. And I thank you, Lord God, what you're doing by your Spirit. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing up, because if you don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. I yield completely and totally unto you. I'm submitted. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Last week we talked about, and we began the lesson on how to reap honor rewards. And we said that there was a 7 step into reaping that harvest of honor. Last week we talked about being called, and I touched a little bit on commissioning. And I'm going to kind of touch a little bit more on commissioning. We're going to try to finish up with competence, conduct, continuity, confidence, and control. I'm not going to say we're going to get there, but we're going to aim to it. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter, I want to say chapter 11, but chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and 1. I stated last week that first comes the call of God, you know, that you know God has called you to do service for him. But you should not leave and start to pursue that call without first having the commissioning. And we're going to see here in Acts chapter 13. Turn with me in your Bibles. It says in Acts 13, it says, now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, and was Niger and Lucerne and Cyrene and Methene, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, so they were praising God, as they ministered and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Now I'm going to stop there. The Holy Ghost said, in other words, God brings the call now. The Holy Ghost said, you know, he said, the Holy Ghost said, verse number two, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. So God has separated them for a special work. OK, but they were also commissioned before they went out. Verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So those people who were in apostolic government, apostolic authority, the prophets and the teachers who were there with Paul and Barnabas, prayed with them, they fasted, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. The commissioning, you know, commissioning for service. In the military, before they sent a ship out to be, you know, for its maiden voyage, there's what is known as a commissioning, you know. When there's the transfer of power from one president to the next, we call it an inauguration. But in actuality, it's a commissioning where the president who's leaving the office, now he's transferring the power. His presidential power, his presidential position over to the next person. So that's a transfer. That's a commissioning, you know, in every aspect of life. You know, people are sent out and they're sent out by somebody who's also qualified to send them out. And that's so very important. You know, in commissioning, you got to be commissioned by somebody who's also qualified as a father or as a pastor or somebody in some type of authoritative or delegated position who's qualified to send you out because they've heard from God also. And there's an agreement. It's not like, well, I'm not sure, but I'm going to do it because you're telling me. No. You know, if I went to the apostle and I said, I think the Lord's calling me to start a church. And he said, Brother Calhoun, he says, I just don't have nothing. Okay, apostle, I received that. I'm going to sit back down in my seat, you know, because you whenever God, see, God's going to always confirm his word. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You know, too many people go on the first instinct or the first inkling and not allow the commissioning process, because the best example of somebody who was called and served before they got commissioned to go out was Elijah and Elijah. Elijah served his man of God for about 20 years. You know, wherever Elijah went, Elijah was there, you know, and he served and he watched and he observed. And then there came a time and point where they were looking for a man of God. Elijah was off the scene, but Elijah was coming up into his role as a prophet. And somebody said, well, I know a man who poured water on Elijah's hand, and that was Elijah. You know, why? Because they knew he had to have something for them years that he spent observing and watching and serving, you know, because there's a transfer that takes place. There's a transfer that takes place. And that's so very important. And you see, when the Lord told Elijah to anoint somebody to be king and then to anoint Elijah to be prophet in his house, you know, when Elijah threw his mantle on, that was a form of a first commissioning. But at the same time, it didn't mean that he had to go out. He stayed and he served. Yeah, the call was there, but the preparation took years. And that's so very important. All right, let me move on in the area of commissioning. Let's see. Okay, we talked about that. All right, commissioning. The act of granting or delegating certain power of authority, privilege, or granting authority to carry out a particular task or duty or position in ministry, usually done by the laying on of hands, being sent out and released properly into ministry. And I have here as a footnote Acts chapter 13, which we already read. The authority so granted by one delegated authority, an apostle or a prophet or somebody under apostolic government commissioning you into ministry, the matter or tasks so authorized, the inauguration of a president to grant authority for something to be done, something placed in order. This is proper order of the kingdom when someone is properly sent out and commissioned by the laying on of hands. Because I always said, whenever God sends you out, he will never send you out empty-handed. You know, if God truly has called you and you've been commissioned properly and God has assigned you to sit under someone, that's for development, that's for training, and that's for you to get the proper instruction that you need in order that you can fulfill your ministry the way God designs for you to fulfill it. Because we're going to see in some of these other instances here where people who went through the process, they you know, were able to be successful in ministry. And that's so very important. In anything you do, you want to be successful. I'll never forget the first time, I think I shared this, back in the old church in the city of Darrell, some 22, 24, 25 years ago. I'm sitting in the congregation. I had been a member for a couple of years. I don't even know if the school of ministry had started up yet. I'm not even sure. I think it had. But it was a Wednesday night service. Apostle had finished ministering. And then he looked over at me in the seat. He said, he pointed at me. He said, come up and close the service out. In other words, read the minutes, do the offering, and close out, say the prayer. So I'm saying to myself, okay, yeah, piece of cake. So I walk up to the podium, and immediately I got petrified. Okay, because you got to understand the man who just sat down, the anointing that's on his life, it's the whole platform is just saturated with the anointing. And I'm trembling, and he's looking at me. So I go ahead and I stumble through the minutes. And then we did the offering, and then I looked at him again and said, go ahead and close the service out. And I went ahead and said a quick prayer and hurried up and got down. And as I was walking down, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, son, you are not ready. You know, in other words, you know, you got some learning to do, you know. And I caught that. I said, yeah, I said, it's not as easy as you think it is, you know. Because there's a preparation phase. And what he was telling me, you're where you needed to be to get the training you need so that you can advance and do what I called you to do. But stick with the assignment. Don't leave it. You know, and I always remember that because you have to take what the Holy Spirit tells you as, well, it is sacred, but you gotta cherish it and not forget it. You know, I always tell Lord, bring those things back to remembrance, them on them early years. When I first joined the Word of Life Christian Center, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, this is where you need to be. And you know, the Lord, he never said, okay, you know, it's okay, now it's time to leave. That never happened. You know, but he told me, this is where you need to be. So until I get confirmation otherwise, and also confirmation from my man of God, this is where I need to be. You know, that should settle it, you know, and that's so very important because that helps that commissioning process go through the way it should. Amen. All right, let's move on. All right, let's go to the third. The third way to produce honor is through being competent. And all of this falls in line because, okay, now that you've been commissioned, hands been laid on you, there's a time where you have to develop competency. Competence means that you're capable of fulfilling the assignment. You're not a novice. You're not green at it. This is not your first rodeo. You've been in these circles and you've learned how to do what God and develop in your gift and in your talent and in your ability. So that's so very important. Okay. Hebrews 5:13 and 14 says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. In other words, if you're still sucking on a bottle, you're unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses or their souls developed and matured. Or it says the senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that's so very important. A lot of our development is really a soulish development where you're getting your soul in alignment. You're spending time putting the word of God into, you know, because as we know, our spirit is perfect. When we got born again, we received the very life and the very nature of God. But our mind, our will, our emotions, our intellect, our memory, you know, all of those things have to be reconditioned to the word of God. You know, the word of God has to be the standard. You know, that's why the Bible talks about, you know, writing the word upon the doorpost, upon the lintel, you know, keeping the word of God before you, you know, listening to it. Because what you're doing, you're reconditioning your soul to the word, you know. So when a situation comes up, what should come out is the word. You know, when a crisis comes up, the scripture should begin to start bubbling out of your soul. Because you took the time to incubate it in there, you know. And so now you're not moved by what you see. You're not moved by what you feel. You know, you're only moved by what the word says. The word says, I walk in victory. And see, that's where the competency comes in. And that's so very important that we're competent. When I was a child, it says I talked as a child. You know, I did childish things. But when you grew up spiritually, now you're taking on a different attribute. You learn how to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know, people who are immature in spiritual things, they get off the handle real quick. Why? Because they're letting their emotions rule. When somebody rub you the wrong way and you want to lash back at them, I'll give you an example. I talked about it last week when I was in the prison, and the guy was saying some things that was just irking my spirit. I said, why is he telling these people this? And I wanted to just run up and just pull him off the pulpit, but that wasn't the right thing to do. The Lord said, no, just go ahead. And he gave me what I needed to say and how I needed to say it to where he received it. See, cause the word of God is for reproof, rebuke, and exaltation. Reproof, rebuke, and exaltation. You know, as I said, I've seen the apostle rebuke people, but in the same sentence, begin to stitch them back up. You know, this is how you need to do it. No, you're wrong, but let me show you how it's done. You know, so it's a training process. And that's where the being competent comes in. Ministers and ministry of helps need to be competent in their gifts. So their gifts, you know, must be developed. The gift must be exercised. And that's where ministries now have, I don't want to use the word programs, but one of the ways, like I said, when the apostle had me in his office and he told me to get involved in prison ministry, that was giving me an opportunity to begin to exercise what God had already placed on the inside of me. So that was a developmental thing, you know, teaching new members class or whatever, even up to now, school of ministry. All of these things are, you know, it helps to refine you, you know. And even before I was here, I tell people, it's like I was on the backside of the mountain. Nobody knew who I was, but I was just doing what I, and you see, when you get an assignment, stick with it. Don't let go of it, you know, because see, God is always watching your faithfulness, and people don't sometimes realize that, you know. People say, well, I know I got a call of God on my life, but nobody's recognizing. It's not about nobody. It's about God. You being faithful, and the Bible says when you're faithful in another man's ministry, how do you expect to have your own if you're not faithful where He called you to be? You know, and even if he never tells you to leave, you still be faithful because your blessing is going to ride on the wave of you being faithful, whom God called you to be faithful to, you know, and that's so very important. And that's something that the school, and that's what apostolic order and government is all about, is understanding these principles so that you can be blessed and that you can begin to fulfill the will and the purpose of God for your life. Amen? Amen. It is so very important to understand covering. That's so very important. And you see, when you're not competent under unreasonable pressure, demonic attacks, jealousy, letdown, if you're not under protection, or don't have that protection in ministry during those early years, not having the blessings of God on your life, You end up becoming disconnected, discontent, disenchanted. Why? Because you're not where you need to be. And that's so very important that we get in our place and stay in our place. Because what happens, that's going to produce barrenness. It's going to produce famine and barrenness in your life when you're out of position and you're out of place. And that you don't want, I've seen that happen to people. And it hurts me to no end to see young, talented, anointed men fall short of their gift because of being too eager, too much in a haste to not learn the lessons and to take the instructions properly. Amen. Let's move on. The next one is, the fourth one is, how to build honor in the area of having good conduct. You know, as not just as ministers, but in every area of the ministry of health, there must be good conduct. Ephesians 5:3-4 says, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor gesturing, which is not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. I'm going to read that from the Amplified. Ephesians 5:3-5. It says, but immoral sex vice and all impurity of lust, rich, wasteful living or greediness must not even be named among you as is fitting and proper among saints, God's sanctified people. So these things, the Bible, I always use the scripture, always, this always comes up. Avoid every appearance of evil, you know, run from it. You know, just I like the illustration, you know, put your track shoes on and just run. You know, I don't have a problem running from temptation. You know, I don't have a problem. I've done it. Run from it. You know, because and another thing I've learned, too, is when you're sensitive to the Holy Ghost, God will always forewarn you. I mean, when the tempter try to come and try to pull the wool over your eyes, God will always forewarn you. I remember, and I shared this probably before, we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma, during one of Kenan Hagin's camp meetings. I would get up early, and I would get up to go pray, and I would walk around the whole parking area of the convention center, which is a couple of blocks, and I'm just praying in the spirit. I'll get up around 6, right before daybreak, and walk around the facility just praying in the spirit. And all of a sudden, after about my second lap, the Holy Spirit just out of nowhere came up in my spirit to keep my distance from a certain young lady. Just her name popped up. Say, I'm saying, what's all this, you know? But I just tucked it away. I said, okay, you know, I heard. I mean, it just, you know. And see, sometimes it, if you're not careful, you think it's your mind, you know. That very day, I started to see some changes, you know, where I was being approached very subtly, but gradually. And it started me till that evening. I actually moved and sat on the other side of the Coliseum away from the individual. And then, you know, weeks and months, you know, the Holy Spirit kept reminding me. But here again, you want to sustain from every appearance of evil and listen to the Holy Spirit, because that'll keep you out of harm's way. You know, if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, God will always lead you in the path of righteousness. You know, lead you in the path of righteousness. I'm not going to belabor on that, but that's very important. Give therefore thy servant. This is one of my prayers, an understanding heart. Lord, give me an understanding heart. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom, you know. And here where David was praying that I might judge thy people, that I might discern between good and evil. Or, you know, in my prayer, Lord, that I can discern between good and evil, right and wrong. And I can see a trap or something the enemy may try to come to really put a reproach on the ministry and put a reproach on myself and basically could easily cause you to be shipwrecked. You know, because once the Holy Spirit tells you something, it's for a reason. It's for a reason. You know, let's move on. The next area, and all of these things, when you do it properly, it's going to help bring honor to you. It's going to help produce honor in your life. Obtain or maintaining continuity is the fifth way to build honor. That word continuity means a continuance, a continuancy. When something is talked about continuity, is something that's perpetual. And it's so very important that we understand that in ministry, there needs to be a continuity in the area of a legacy that God is developing through your man of God, through you, through the generations. It's not just for, you know, for just the person who's the pastor or the apostle at that time, but the continuity. I use this illustration. A good father always wants their children to continue on in the legacy that they started, you know, especially if a father had a business and they train that son or that daughter up in that business. Their desire is for that child to now take this business to another level, continuity, you know, and that's so very important that we understand that, that, you know, the fifth way to build honor is to maintain continuity, keeping the process of ministry flowing and moving forward. Generational anointing that God through a man has already started, you know, and one of the things the apostle said, the reason why the Lord allowed him to start this class or this training center was he said there's a move of the Spirit that would be lost. You know, if you don't now begin to show people how to move in the Spirit, how to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, how to, when you minister, always have a listening ear to what God is saying. You know, don't, you know, yeah, I got my notes. But the notes ain't nearly as good as the Holy Ghost. You know, when you prepare yourself and you're, you know, you got something to give, God will bring it out. One thing I've learned, and I learned this in prison ministry. When I first started out, the first several months, maybe a year or so, it almost seemed like I was preaching to empty heads and it was bouncing back on me. As, you know, it's like, kind of like if you throw something at somebody and they pick it up and they throw it back at you. I mean, it was like, you know, and I'm saying, but I learned just keep putting it out. Just keep putting it out. And all of a sudden, one or two people, you could see a gloom of light start to develop on the inside of them. And all of a sudden, the expression's being changed. And before, all the people that were sleeping, now you got five or six people that has got Bibles and sitting at the table and listening. You know, and then before long, they had a TV. They'd be watching a football game over in the corner. These guys said, "No, we turning the TV off. Everybody need to come and listen." And all of a sudden now, what started out to be two or three people, now it's 10 or 15 or 20 people. You know, but it was a learning process for me, not to be moved by what I see, not to be moved by what I hear, but only be moved by what the Word of God says. You know, that when you preach the word, it's going to fall on good soil and it's going to produce fruit, you know, and you got to stick with it and not allow anything to sway you in any other direction. All right. Acts 6:7 says, "And the word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith." Now, the word of God had to increase because the word of God had to be preached. You know, first the word of God was preached and then the word of God increased. And it said that the number of disciples, see, that's part of the vision of this ministry. And the word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied, you know, and a great company of priests. In other words, people who've been called to the ministry now become obedient to the faith. Why? Because somebody heard God and start doing what God called him to do. I'm talking about our apostle. And now, not only these people in the class, everyone who's online across the country in the United States, all LTMA, people who watch online all over the world, a great company of priests are now being obedient to the faith. Why? Because somebody decided that they're going to do what God called them to do. And preach what God called them to preach, and not be moved by what people say or what people do, you know, and not one of the things he says, I died to men. You know, you got to die to people and do what God called you to do. And that's so very important. Because when you do that, that's when now you're going to begin to see that continuity, because you're going to continue to do what you've been taught and what you've seen. Amen? All right, let's move on. Ministers and ministries of health workers need to understand the importance of continuity, or continuation of a generational anointing. We don't need to reinvent the wheel any longer. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, Paul, and the God of Apostle Thompson want you to continue the generational anointing to the next generation. You know, I mean, and so that's how that legacy perpetuates itself, you know, because it blesses me when people come up to me and say, man, I see the apostles' anointing on you. Well, that's because of the connection. That's because of you know, doing what Elijah did with Elijah, or what, you know, the following and sticking close. And that's where that continuity comes in. Elijah, the younger prophet, he asked for a double portion, right? Well, he did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. You know, why? Because he asked for a double portion. So that double portion, now he did what his spiritual father did, and he expanded. No father wants their children to do less than what they did. You know, they want them to take the mantle and now move it forward. And because, see, the word of God is always progressive. It's always moving forward. So it's very, very important. Matter of fact, my next statement here. Any good father always wants their children to take the torch of ministry and advance it further than they did. They now begin to build upon foundation that their father has laid, carrying on the legacy and building upon the foundation of their father for the next generation. That's so very important. That's what we're doing right here. We're building upon the legacy. You know, each one of us, God may have you in different areas of life. You know, one of the things the apostle said last Sunday, he said, you can reach people that probably he couldn't. You know, because God has a uniqueness in each and every one of us. But when we allow that to shine and come forth, we're affecting nations. We're affecting whole kingdoms by carrying on a legacy. Amen. All right. Let's move on. The sixth way. Let me make sure I'm not skipping anything. No, we're right. The sixth way to build honor is being confident. You want to be confident in what you do. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us, this is 1 John 3:21-22. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And always we ask, and whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in us will continue to perform it until the day of Christ. There's got to be a bold confidence, you know. And you see, when you serve properly and when you have good conduct and you know the importance of continuing what you're doing, well, then now you can have confidence, because the more you are developed, the more you become competent in your gift, the more you become trained and your senses become exercised and your soul now is in alignment with your spirit. So there's not a tug of war. Your spirit know what you need to do. And you see, a lot of times, even in ministry, people have this, I know I'm called, but I don't think I can do it. That's the soul. Your soul ain't developed, because your soul is still on a lower level, you know. But once, you know, when the apostle told me to start off in prison ministry, my soul was out of alignment, because it just wasn't feeling it, you know. But I had to by obedience, and doing what you're told. And I said, if my man of God thinks enough of me to give this assignment, Lord, you're just going to have to help me. And then you just step out. And by doing that, now that's when your help kicks in, because you recognize it's really not your ability. You know, yeah, you spent the time in studying and learning and developing, but the Bible says that he's the potter and we're the clay. So let him develop you. Let him mold you and shape you the way he wants you to be. Amen. All right, let's move on. The sixth way to build honor is that the individual must possess unshakable confidence. This is done by faith. Faith and confidence run hand in hand. You know, having faith, you know, faith means I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You know, if God be for me, who can be against me? You know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You know, it's so very important that we constantly build up our confidence in God. You know, David, through his activity as a shepherd, you know, on the backside of the mountain, attending to the sheep, he began to develop confidence in his God by seeing what God through as he used the name of God and said, you know, the lion and the bear. And now all of a sudden now he has a greater feat with the uncircumcised Philistine, this big Goliath. He said, you know, hey, I'm not having it. You know, I know my God, you see, but it was during that developmental stage. Nobody saw him, but he was being developed. So don't despise not small beginnings. Despise not, you know, because that's when you're being developed. And that's when God is really now fine tuning you for a greater work, because now you have that confidence, because, you know, if he did it for me back then, he's going to do it for me now. You know, the same yesterday, today and forever. You know, God will never change. Amen. All right. We got about 2 minutes and I'm still not where I need to be, but we're moving on. Ephesians 3:12-13, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. In other words, he says, I want you to have boldness, access, and confidence. All those things run together. You know, having boldness, being bold. The Bible says that the righteous are bold as a lion, having that boldness. You know, boldness and access into the deep things of God, access into God's will, access into the mysteries of God. And that's going to produce confidence, because, you know, God's going to always see you through. Amen. All right. The seventh way to build honor is to exercise self-control. Self-control means you just don't go off at the handle. Galatians 5:22 and chapter 5, verse 22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long-suffering, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If ye live in the Spirit, you shall also walk in the Spirit. You know, when you walk in love, you walk in all the fruit of the Spirit. And that's so very important. And by doing so, you're crucifying the flesh, you know, and you're exercising self-control. I like in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 to 27, it says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it for a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore run not uncertainly, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air. In other words, I'm not shadow boxing, but I keep my body under subjection. In other words, I keep my body under control. You do that by keeping your spirit aligned, your soul and your spirit lined up, and your body gonna do whatever your soul tell it to do. You know, because your spirit already know what you need to do and how the situation need to be handled. Your soul just have to get in alignment properly. You know, but here Paul says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, least by any means when I preach to others, I myself also would be a castaway. Jesus was a seed. Jesus sowed himself as a seed. When you sow yourself as a seed, you become a seed of honor. And when I say sow yourself, your time, your talent, and your treasure. everything that Jesus said, you know, he came to be crucified. He knew he was going to die on the cross. You know, when you sow yourself as a seed, you can't help but be develop the fruit of honor in your life. Amen. All right. We're going to conclude with that. You guys be blessed and we'll see you next week.